I want to take just a few minutes tonight before we go and enjoy pizza and ice cream together and just share a couple of things with you from God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if you have your Bible with you, or you can grab one in the pew there in front of you, or maybe you got it on your phone, I would encourage you to turn there. We sang that song tonight, put off the old man and put on the new. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about how all things in Jesus Christ are new. And so it brings up the question, do you like new things? I mean, do you like Amazon packages that show up on your front porch? How many of you have someone in your home who really likes Amazon and that shows, you know, it shows because they just keep showing up on your front porch, right? Do you like birthday presents? Christmas presents? Yeah, I get new things, right? A trip to Walmart, right? Or Target or wherever you're going to go and buy something that you need or you want. I mean, there's just that new product, right? And that new smell, right? It's just hard to replace. There's just something about it we seem to enjoy. We may like in life the experience of getting new things, or we may like going on new experiences, but there is something that the Bible tells us is far greater than this, that in Jesus Christ we can have new life. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us how we can experience all things new and live in the newness of that life. He says here that because Jesus died and rose again, I must look to him for the salvation and strength needed for new life. That's what this verse teaches us. Because Jesus has come, and because he has lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again, I must look to him. I must trust him for a new life to live to his glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very simple verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And let's just break this verse down tonight into three little sections about newness and talk about what that means for our lives. It begins in the first part of the verse with the new position that we have if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. What he's talking about here is he's talking about the position that a disciple, a believer, a Christian enjoys. He is defined as one, Paul simply just says, if he is in Christ. And that is such a short and simple phrase, to be in Christ. But it has tremendous meaning. There is deepness that is behind that statement of in Christ. Because when Paul says if anyone is in Christ, he is talking about the realization of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. This little phrase, if anyone is in Christ, points us to the greatest hope we have. And it begins by understanding that you and I, we are born into this world loving and serving what is wrong. We're born loving and serving our sin. Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. We understand that God is our holy and just creator. We must abide by his law. We must abide by his rule. Yet we do not. You look around today and you see a broken world. That is a world that is in rebellion against her creator. Our world is full of sin. And when we are quick to point out outside and say, yeah, I mean, look at all the sin, look at all the bad things that are out there, then we kind of have to look and turn into ourselves and say, and we're part of that problem. Because we're sinners. We've turned out of the way. We have rebelled against our Creator. And there is no one who escapes this designation. There's no one who escapes this reality. And because of that reality, we face an eternal punishment for our sins, because Paul would say in Romans 6:23, the wages, the payment of our sin is death. This is the reality of all who die physically in their sin, because God is holy and he cannot tolerate our sin. He's just and he must judge our sin. Therefore, we who are sinful, we face eternal punishment because of our sin. And so Paul talks about in this verse about being in Christ. But the opposite of being in Christ is being in sin. And that's the natural state we're born in. If that's the way we die, in sin, that results in condemnation, in judgment, in punishment to us because of our sin. But God is also loving and gracious and offers us a way back to Him as a gift. In 1 Peter 3:18, we read, "For Christ, that is Jesus, also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." You see, Jesus came to earth almost 2,000 years ago as 100% God and 100% man. He was man and He is God in the flesh at the same time. And He kept God's law perfectly. That's something you and I could never do. He lived a perfect life, fulfilling the law of God. And we read in the scriptures, in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that He died on a cross for us. And then He rose from the dead. And that is something none of us can do. I mean, we can't live a perfect life. We could die, and we definitely can't raise ourselves from the dead. That is what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. And because Jesus did this, we are offered the greatest exchange in the world. If you were just to go down a couple of verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21, you would read this: "For our sake, He, that is God, made Him, that is Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." And so God offers you an exchange in your life. The righteousness, the reward, the right relationship with God that belonged to Jesus in exchange for your sinfulness and your brokenness and your separation from God. And He offers you that trade because of Jesus' work on the cross. And that takes place through personal faith and trust in Jesus alone. It means confessing Him as Lord and Savior. It means repenting from your sin. I talked to the kids the other day about what does repentance mean, that we were going one direction and we turn around and we go the other direction. That this is what I was, and now this is who I am. I believe this. It means believing Him, accepting His work, turning from your sin and self-efforts to Him. And this is what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17, when he says, "If anyone is in Christ." See, the one who does this, who places faith in Jesus, is in Christ. That is the new position. And after faith in Jesus, you are no longer under condemnation. You are no longer in sin. You are in Christ. You belong to Him. You're redeemed by Him. And you are made, secondly, a new creation. We see that in the second part of verse 17 here. He says, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ," okay, "He is a new creation." A new position in Christ results in a new creation by Christ. God performs this work in all who trust in Jesus. And Jesus spoke of this in His ministry. In John chapter 3, we read that Jesus met with a religious leader of Israel. His name was Nicodemus, at night. And we read in John 3, verse 3, when Nicodemus asked Him some questions, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this confused Nicodemus, so if it confuses you or makes you have questions, then you're not the first person. He's not talking here about being physically reborn, but spiritually born into the family of God. Salvation from sin is God's work, and that work is the creation of a new man. Without God's work, we would have no hope or desire to do what is right. And at salvation, the new man is created inside us to do what is right, because those who belong to God are described that way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In Jesus, we are remade to serve Him. And this is a wonderfully new reality. And Paul, of all people, knew the reality of this. Because Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And if you know anything about Paul, Paul wrote about half of the New Testament books. And yet, as he wrote these things near the end of his life, he said, hey, look at me. I'm the worst guy that ever was. I am the worst sinner, and Christ died for me. Paul knew the reality of what it meant to be a new creation. Without Jesus, you have no power to serve God. Without Jesus, you have no ability to say no to serving your sin and yourself. But with Jesus, that changes. With him, we have the ability to live out our new reality because we've been made new in him. And that's the last thing I want you to see in this verse tonight, is the new reality that takes place. He says here at the end of verse 17, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we are, without a doubt here, Paul says, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, it is out with the old. Because of the new position and the new creation in Jesus, there's a new reality we have to live out. The old man is no longer in control. In fact, the wording here is very clear. The old has passed away. The old has died. The old man met his end in Jesus. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus' death on the cross brings with it, those who trust in him, the death of the old man. The old man is no longer the life we must live. Instead, there is a new man who is alive in us. He lives for the power and the glory of God. We see that here at the end of this verse, right? He says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So out with the old and in with the new. Paul makes it clear that all things have become new. This word talks about being born, right? When he says the new has come, he talks about being born or coming into being. The new man is born at salvation, at the moment you place faith in Jesus Christ. And that word here communicates when it says the new has come. When this wording here, it's not just, well, it's just a one-time thing, but it communicates a past action that has continuing results in the present of your life. So the new man is born in salvation, and the results of that carry on and on and on throughout your life. At salvation, we are made new, and the new man is continuing to live each day. But we live in our temporal body, in our temporal this shell, right, that we live in, and it likes to do wrong, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you who know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you still struggle with sin? And you're like, oh, man. I mean, all this talk about new, and I still feel like I'm living in the old. The habits of the old man pull at our hearts. So therefore, there is further instruction we have to keep in mind and live for the glory of God. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 4, the kids sang about this tonight, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt and deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We could simplify it into three phrases. Put off, renew, put on. Put off, renew, put on. Put off, renew, put on. This is not a mantra you're supposed to say to yourself, okay? It's just help you remember, okay? But it's to help us understand that in the new man, in the new life that Christ has given to all who trust in him, there's an expectation to put off these sinful habits, put off these things that our body, our cells, our flesh is used to renew our minds to the things of God, to spend time in the Word of God, and to put on then those things that glorify God. This is the calling of every Christian. And you know, if we don't do this, it's painfully obvious Those who are born into God's family, I guess we can say it this way, they're expected to act like it. Did your parents ever say this to you? Now listen, when you go out tonight, you remember whose kids you are. Anybody ever hear that from your mom and dad? Right? How many of you say that? Like, you remember, right? This is who you belong to. And when you do that, you know, this is how you're to act, or this is what you're supposed to say or not say, or these are conversations I've had with my kids, right? And we get that. But understand this. That's exactly the way it is in the family of God. That if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been adopted into His family. Then we are expected to live to the glory of God. And if we don't, well, that should cause a lot of questions in our hearts. That should cause some concern in our lives. Well, why don't I want to live like that? Why don't I want to bring honor and glory to God? Why don't I, do I really know God? We don't have to live in defeat of sin. We're called to live in victory over that sin if we know Jesus Christ. All things are new by God's help and to His glory. And so may we answer His call and live for His kingdom. Because Jesus died and rose again, I must look to Him for the salvation and strength needed for new life. We live in a fallen, broken world, we're surrounded by Him. But one day, Jesus will come and He will make all things new again. The Bible promises us in Revelation that He is coming again to rule and to reign for all eternity in new heaven and the new earth. But the greater truth here tonight is that His kingdom has already begun. It resides in the hearts and lives of those who trust Him. Those who profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, placing genuine faith in Jesus' finished work, have already experienced the incredible transformational work of the gospel being made new in the image of Jesus Christ. And God regenerates all believers and places us in His family. We are a new creation living out the new reality of Jesus' work in us. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, if you don't know what it means to put on the new, what does that even mean? The new man, the old man, Jesus dying for my sin. I don't know if I've ever done that. You can know what that means. You can have eternal life in Him. You can experience a new birth into the kingdom and family of God and know His victory, His power, and His newness. And as a Christian, you can live for God's glory now and forevermore. This is a great and wonderful truth. And so I would just invite you tonight, whether on one side or the other, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, I would love to talk to you about that. I would love to answer your questions about that. If you are here and you do know Him as Savior, I would ask you, evaluate your life in light of this verse. Do you live in the new self? Do you live for the glory of God? The old has passed away. So why do we still live for it? May we live for the new man. May we live in the power and the glory of God. Father, thank You for the day You've given us and the opportunity to be here in Your house tonight. We ask that You would take the Word of God and use it in our hearts and lives. May we be burdened to serve You, to give You the praise and the honor for what You've done. Lord, I pray for that You would do Your work in our hearts tonight. If there's one here who doesn't know You as Savior, You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Yourself. And Lord, as Christians tonight, would You show us the way that we live in the habits and the patterns of the old man instead of living for You and what You have called us to do. And may we be willing to make that right and live for the kingdom of God. In Your name we pray.